Hello and welcome back to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis. This is the show where we talk about all things related to the health space and have a range of experts from the field in. Hope you enjoy. Hello everyone and welcome back to the show. Today with us, we're really, really privileged to have Lynn Schulte on the show, who's an accomplished birth healing specialist and pelvic health physical therapist with over 30 years of experience. And we're really going to focus today on just pelvic floor health, particularly postpartum. And yeah, Lynn's going to bring her expert knowledge to the table and really educate all of us. So firstly, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show, Lynn. And it's, yeah, lucky to have you on.
Thanks, Jessica, so much for having me. I love any opportunity I can get to share the wisdom that I have learned in working with postpartum moms. And I think what makes my approach and my knowledge so unique is that I only work with postpartum women. Like that's a pregnant and postpartum women. Like I don't see a lot of other issues that people come to me, like most physical therapists do. You know, they'll see a lot of different things in women's health. And for me, I started off just working with postpartum clients. And that's what allowed me to find all these patterns that I was finding in their bodies and realizing what was going on and figuring out how to release these patterns. And then I started getting really, really good results with my clients and helping them to recover the strength in their pelvic floor muscles after birth. I would say the strength of our core muscles, being our belly muscles and our pelvic floor muscles, are the muscles that get so stretched out from being pregnant and then delivering a baby, whether that baby comes out vaginally or whether it comes out through a cesarean birth.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that happens in the body during birth. And that's what I want people to know about.
Yeah, no, completely agreed. I mean, kind of taking it all the way back to the beginning, and you've obviously carved out this niche. How did you wake up one day and think, you know what, this was what I wanted to do, postpartum pelvic health? What kind of led you to this path that obviously I agree is so important and you've really carved out an important niche, but what led you to that moment?
Well, I actually moved from Seattle, Washington to Boulder, Colorado, and I had to start my practice all over again. And I had heard that there was a maternity store in Boulder that was allowing people to come in and give talks to their clients or their customers. And so I went up to the owner and I'm like, what do women want to hear about? I'd love to give a talk. And she goes, bellies. They want to know what to do with their belly after birth. And I'm like, great. And she introduced me to someone that, you know, I started learning a little bit more about it. And so I developed a talk to help women understand that our abdominal muscles get stretched out during pregnancy, but they don't all get stretched out evenly. So we have our deepest muscles, our transverse abdominis muscle, and it runs directly from the spine in the back to the belly in the front. So it goes front to back.
Yeah.
Have oblique muscles that come in at an angle, and we have an internal and external oblique. And so they come going face down and forward into the front, and then they come up at an angle towards the rib cage. And so those oblique muscles, they allow us to twist. That lower transverse muscle is supposed to compress in to stabilize our spine to keep us strong while we're moving our arms and our legs. And the oblique muscles don't get as stretched out as that transverse abdominis muscle does. Because if you think from front to back, the belly button is way longer in a pregnant person than if you look from like rib cage down to their pubic bone. It's a different angle and it's just not as long. And so our transverse abdominis muscle gets very over lengthened. And the concept, I like to try to share concepts with people so they understand it more. And it almost in a way, it's like our transverse abdominis muscle gets so stretched out, it gets turned off. Now it doesn't really get turned off, but it's lazy. Like it doesn't want to come to the party. But the oblique muscles, like something has to stabilize you and keep you strong. So the muscles that are meant to twist us actually become stabilizers and start doing the job of the transverse abdominis. And what ends up happening is that if you put your hand on your lower belly and you cough, Ideally, when the transverse abdominis muscle kicks in, the belly pulls back up and in. But a lot of times post-birth, the belly will get shoot out. The oblique muscles are kicking in more, and the transverse doesn't tighten, so the belly comes out. And that actually puts a lot more pressure on the bladder, the uterus, and that can cause stress incontinence. The leak in urine after having a baby, when you go to laugh, cough, and sneeze, you leak urine. And the doctor's like, ah, you had a baby, what do you expect? And it's like, no, there's something we can do about this. We re-strengthen all these muscles after having a baby. You just need to understand how. And so turning on, getting that transverse abdominis muscle to kick in more than the oblique dominant, the oblique muscles can help stop the pressure hitting the bladder, stop you from leaking as you're laughing, coughing, sneezing.
No, that's so interesting. I think just thinking about even higher up than the pelvic floor itself to as to where these issues are kind of like stemming from, and this whole body approach I think is really important.
Yeah, and so, but the transverse abdominis muscles are intimately connected to our pelvic floor muscles. And when you have a cesarean birth, they cut through. They don't cut the muscles. They actually just kind of pull them apart. And but that can cause dysfunction, and they're cutting through the uterus, the abdominal wall, or not the abdominal muscles, but the fascia and everything. And it can cause another thing that causes the muscles not to want to be able to contract well is because of scar tissue from a cesarean birth. While I'm on that topic, a cesarean birth can also cause three major issues in postpartum people that they may not be aware of. So, bladder frequency. The scar tissue is not allowing the bladder to expand fully. And it feels like every 20 minutes you get an urge that you have to go. And that's the bladder just hitting the scar tissue. So you need to release your scar tissue. You need to massage your C-section scar. And I have a video on how to do that on my YouTube channel, Institute for Birth Healing channel on YouTube. Go look, search C-section scar massage. And so bladder frequency is one issue that can be caused by the scar tissue. Deep thrusting pain with intercourse, if the scar tissue kind of creates a brick wall, and so the all those tissues need to be able to move up and down as the thrusting happens during intercourse. And if it's hitting that scar tissue, it creates a brick wall. And then the third is low back pain. The uterosacral ligament attaches the uterus to the sacrum. The uterus just got cut through. And I've never felt a C-section scar that's not more tight on one side more than the other. And that pull causes the sacrum not to be able to move as freely as possible. And that can create low back pain. So all three of those issues can be resolved by massaging your C-section scar.
Okay, that's really, I think that's really useful for people that maybe go have gone through a cesarean or may have one planned. But also, I think kind of taking it back to the pelvic area and pelvic health, how do all these changes, I mean, they obviously do, but how does pregnancy and even birth itself kind of affect these pelvic floor muscles?
So with a vaginal birth, we talked about the transverse abdominis muscle getting so stretched out. Well, the pelvic floor muscles get so stretched out during birth. And if you gave birth and you tore, that tearing usually affects the ability of those muscles to be able to contract. So usually after a birth, your pelvic floor muscles have a lot harder time activating and being strong. And there's several different things that can be contributing to the pelvic floor muscles not being strong after birth. Scar tissue is one of them. So if you tore or you had an episiotomy, that creates scar tissue, and scar tissue is not as flexible and allows those muscles to move like they're supposed to. Okay, so massaging that scar, going in vaginally, feeling for the rough tissue that is scar tissue, and trying to compress it and move it around can help the muscles to be able to work better. The other thing that is so important, and this is one of the big realizations that I found in my postpartum clients is that the bones of the pelvis, so I have a little pelvis here. If you're listening to this on audio or on the podcast, please go check out the YouTube video of this interview. I can so you can see the video. So this is the here's your pelvis. This is the pelvic inlet that the baby has to get into. But for a baby to come on out, this is the pelvic outlet. And these sit bones that you're sitting on have to splay out to the side, and your tailbone, your sacrum, have to go backwards in order to open up the pelvic outlet for a baby to come on out. What I found is that the bones of the pelvis don't always go back and return to their original position. They stay open in what I'm coining the open birthing pattern in the pelvis. And so all of your pelvic floor muscles attach to these bones that are now in a widened position. Your pelvic floor muscles are on stretch. And there's a study that tells us that muscles that are either too short or too long are not as strong. That we need to find that Goldilocks range where the muscles can function and be strong again. So, one of the first things that I do in every postpartum client that I see is help bring these bones back together to their original position. That they can, so then the muscles can come back to their normal length and then they are able to function better. So closing the bones from the open birthing pattern is really, really important. And I have another YouTube video on an exercise that you can do to close the pelvic bones after birth. So go on to my Institute for Birth Healing channel on YouTube, and you can find the exercise to close the bones after birth. And you just squeeze your knees together and you resist them pulling apart. And that, oh, I apologize. That when you squeeze the knees and you pull them apart, that helps to bring those bones back together to their original position. And then the muscles are going to be in a better position and then they function stronger. The other thing that happens during birth is that the it's when the baby comes through that pelvic space, it rearranges the furniture of our organs. So the bladder has to get pushed out of the way for the baby to come through. And what I find is that when I get the bladder back into its original position, it should be in the midline. A lot of times it goes off to the left-hand side. When you bring the bladder back into position, and then I can find the cervix in any position after birth. So it's ideally right in the midline, but I can find it off to the left, to the right, pulled back, pulled too far forward. So now it's pushing into your bladder. That makes you feel like you have to pee all the time. So getting the cervix back into its original position, because the ligaments that hold the cervix in place can get stretched out as that baby's coming on out. So the ligaments of your uterus need support after having a baby to just help give it into its proper place. By getting the bladder back into place and releasing the cervix, the pelvic floor muscles instantaneously can function better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I think it's so easy to think of these different parts of the body in isolation, and you just always think, okay, I really want to improve my pelvic health, but you don't actually think. I mean, you've spoken already about the cervix, bladder, the abdominals, and I think it's really important to kind of think of it all working together. It's all, as you said, it's all arranged in a room, if you're speaking of it in that way, and it's all about moving everything around.
Yeah. And a baby does. A baby, like, another big component for our core activation, which includes our pelvic floor, it includes our transverse abdominis, is our respiratory diaphragm. And the respiratory diaphragm, that baby starts taking up space. And especially for a person who's very short-waisted, that baby can put a ton of pressure on the diaphragm and cause, and then what we do is we tend to like arch up, we lift our rib cages in the front up so that we make more room for the baby. Mm-hmm. But what that does is it tightens the diaphragm in the back. And the diaphragm isn't able to expand. The diaphragm should be like an umbrella that we open up in 360, the entire thing gets big. That is how our diaphragm is meant to work when we breathe. But because of some of the postures that we get in when we're carrying a baby, We do. If you think about your rib cage being like a bell, and the bell should be sitting straight down on its frame, but when a bell gets rung up to like ding, it goes forward. That's what our rib cage is doing. It's rung up, and so now the backside's tight, and the front side is on stretch.
Yeah,
so diaphragm can't move, and you can't breathe easily, and another issue I find, depending on what the baby used as its punching or pushing bag, it can affect the liver on the right side and the stomach on our left side of our bodies. And that can cause things to get jammed up. And so helping to get those organs back down into place and release the diaphragm and get the diaphragm released so that now it can function freely. It's super, super important for our core strength, and especially important for anybody who might be dealing with any prolapsing of their bladder, uterus, or bowel.
Yeah, completely. And I think, well, we're fitting a whole human in there, aren't we? So think that it makes sense that things are being moved around and it's going to have an effect, and we're carrying normally for around 9 months. So I think it makes sense that this is going to have impacts on your body. And
well, one of the biggest indicators that your rib cage has been expanded from carrying the baby, because some of us may feel our hips are wider. To me, that's a sign of the open birthing pattern in the pelvis, but our rib cage can also expand and get wider, and you'll need a larger size number for your bra in order for your bra to fit now. So if the number, so the letter of our bra is the size of our breasts, the largeness of the breast, the number is actually the width of your rib cage.
Yeah.
So if you had to get a larger size bra from the number size, Your rib cage may still be stuck in an expanded state from carrying the baby. The baby has to go somewhere, and the rib cage going out to the side helps to create more space for the baby, but it can get stuck there. And to help it to come back together. So one thing that you can do to help with that is that if you just put your hands on your lower rib cage and take a breath in, and then as you exhale, squeeze your rib cage down and together. That can help maybe reset your ribs down into their original position. So people can give that a try.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think you've outlined some really important and really interesting common postpartum patterns in the body, I think. And I'd love to know, say, if people are listening to this who are pregnant or postpartum, I'd love to know tips during pregnancy and also postpartum just for kind of readjusting and realigning your body, so to speak.
It's really important while we're pregnant that we try to keep our body as symmetrical as possible. When we're pregnant, we have relaxin, which is a hormone that helps to soften our ligaments, which helps to allow the pelvis to open up for baby to come on out. And as we get more towards that second, third trimester timeframe of our pregnancy, we really want to try to sit as evenly as possible. So sitting so that you have equal weight on your sit bones and not be, you know, cuddling up on the couch with our feet tucked up off to one side or crossing our legs all the time in one direction. That can create these imbalances in your pelvis, which could make for a more challenging birth. The other thing you want to avoid is sitting on your tailbone. So recline back in your chair where you're now sitting more on the back of your sacrum. That pushes that forward and that sacrum needs to lift backwards for birth. So if we're constantly sitting and pushing our tailbone forward, we're going to make it a lot harder for us during the birth. Okay. So, and then standing too, standing, if we always stand on one leg, that tightens down that side because the muscles have to work more than the other side. So becoming aware of your habits and trying to bring more symmetry to your pelvis. So whatever your left leg does, your right leg should be doing the same thing. Okay.
Okay.
However you're sitting, make sure you're even and even pressure on both sit bones. Okay. So that's during pregnancy. Now, the other thing too, in order to have a smoother birth, you really need to become aware of what your body is holding in its body prior to labor. Like if you've had an appendectomy any time in your life or any lower abdominal surgeries, there is a potential for scar tissue that can pull your baby off to the side. So we want to make sure baby can get into the best position possible to come on out. If you notice that your baby's only hanging out on one side of your belly, that's a sign of a restriction. If you get round ligament pain, but it's only on one side, that's a sign of restriction. We want the baby to be able to inhabit both sides of the body and be able to move freely. And we need to make sure that that baby's head is right in the midline as it's coming through for the birth. A lot of times, some babies are heading into a hip. So one of the things I like to assess is where's that baby's head? And a lot of OBGYNs aren't as aware of baby's positioning. Midwives are a little might be a little bit more aware of it, but we want to make sure the head is right in the midline and that the fundus, the top of the uterus, is stacked right on top of it. Because if it's off to the side, to me, that's a round ligament tightness. And we can release that round ligament and get the baby more aligned. So getting the baby in the best position possible and giving it space and freedom and balance in the body will allow the baby to get into the best position to come on out.
And so, how do you kind of encourage that? I know you mentioned the symmetry just in everything that you do, but how do you even know that a baby perhaps is going towards a hip or is sitting?
So you could ask your midwife, you could ask your OB, where's my baby's head? Is it in the midline? Ask them. See it. They will palpate it, but they're not as aware of the positioning of it. Spinningbabies.com is an awesome website. If people aren't aware of it, go devour information on that website because it has three balancing exercises that you can do on a daily basis to just try to help maintain balance. If you notice that things really aren't changing and baby is still off to a side, I highly recommend you go and see one of my practitioners. I have a directory on my website. You can go check and see if there's someone in your area. If there's not someone in your area, go see a pelvic floor PT, or someone who does body work and works with pregnant people so that they can hopefully assess this kind of stuff. Most traditional PTs don't know how to assess the ligaments of the uterus. So, you need to ask your practitioners and ask and see if they know how to do that. I'm training people, any practitioner listening in, please come take my holistic treatment of the pregnant body course. You learn how to release all the uterine ligaments, make sure baby's in a good position. And then you can also learn in my postpartum course how to help heal, close up the bones, get the pelvic floor muscles activating strongly again, getting that core reflexive again so that it can work properly. The other big piece about pregnancy is you really need to learn how to push. One of the things I love doing with my pregnant clients when they come to see me, and I practice in the Denver Longmont area. So if anybody is listening in from the States, please come see me if you're in this area. But that helping people to figure out how to push. If you have a partner, or someone that you trust that they could insert their fingers in vaginally and just reach back at 6 o'clock is the rectum. So you don't want to push right down. Like if this is the opening, right down at 6 o'clock is the rectum. So you don't want to push there. But if you push on 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock and you just have reach your fingers back as far as you can, you're want to put your fingers on the muscle, have your person do a contraction. So if it moves, you know you're on a muscle. But you want to practice to see as they put if your fingers are inside, ask your person to bear down, to push your fingers on out. And you need to practice that because so many times when I'm working with my clients, they go to contract their muscles when instead of lengthening their muscles. And we need to lengthen the muscles to allow the baby to come on out. A lot of tearing happens in our pelvic floor muscles because we're tightening as we're trying to push a baby on out. So we're fighting ourselves. You really need to know how to lengthen your pelvic floor so that when you go to push, you're lengthening and allowing the baby to come on out. So please practice that and get your partner to help you to learn how to practice that so that you know, and practice it in all different positions. Practice it on your back, practice it on your side, practice it on hands and knees, and figure out how to lengthen and release your pelvic floor muscles for the baby to come on out. And a big tip for everybody that is pregnant listening in, how you have a bowel movement is very similar to how you have a baby. If you can learn how to lengthen your pelvic floor to allow the stool to come on out, that same push that you do to get a stool out should be the same push that you do to have a baby.
Amazing. I think that's really useful. And I think you've kind of covered during pregnancy, during birth itself. And I'd love if you could possibly share maybe a tip or two for postpartum then, just for re-strengthening those pelvic floor muscles.
So important that we reconnect to our pelvic floor muscles, okay? Because a lot of times after a birth, birth is intense. It's a lot of people disconnect from that area because of the intensity of what they're feeling and experiencing. Even having an epidural causes us to disconnect from that area. So just put your hand on your perineum, like sit on your hand and just pressure in a little bit and just breathe down to your hand. That's the first step. Reconnect in with your pelvic floor muscles. Make sure that when you breathe in, you feel a little pressure from your pelvic floor muscles ever so slightly. There should be a lengthening as you breathe in. And then as you breathe out, go ahead and contract and pull your pelvic floor muscles up and in. Now, the pelvic floor muscles are attached to your sit bones and your tailbone and your pubic bone in front. So if you can feel all four of those bones, the muscles are in between those. So think about bringing all four of those bones up and inside of you. That's a contraction of your pelvic floor muscles. And we want to do that on an exhale so that we're working with our respiratory diaphragm.
Yeah.
So you breathe in, things should relax. You breathe out, you contract your pelvic floor muscles and your lower belly should draw back up and in as well.
Yeah. Okay? I think that's really important with regards to mindfulness and just thinking rather than kind of going through the paces. If you're given, if you've got read something online or doing something to strengthen your pelvic floor, I think that mindfulness and connection is so important.
Well, what's so important about it is so many women are actually too tight in their pelvic floor muscles. And so there's so many different things that can cause increased tension in your pelvic floor muscles. So I invite everybody listening in, check out your pelvic floor muscles, insert a finger in vaginally, or I actually like to do a thumb because the thumb can easier reach the posterior inferior half of the pelvic floor muscles. So if you insert your thumb in your vaginal space, go off to one side. If you think of it as a clock, right at 6 o'clock where your thumb can go in is where your rectum is. So you don't want to push down there. But if you come off to a side and you push down in here or you push down on this side, that's where the muscles are. And they should be springy and bouncy like a trampoline. So you push down on, they give, and they come back up. If you can't do that, your muscles are too tight. The pelvic floor muscles should be like an elevator. They should rest at the ground floor, be able to contract up to the fifth floor, and then come back down to the ground floor. And for birth, they need to bulge down into the basement. A lot of women may have one side hanging out at fourth floor, maybe the other side at the second floor, maybe third floor. So they're constantly tight here. And when you go to contract, you only get a little bit of an excursion. Your goal and your focus needs to be getting those muscles to relax down to the base or down to the ground floor and then be able to contract and relax from there.
Yeah. Wow. I think, you've clearly got such a wealth and depth of knowledge there. And I think, I could talk to you for ages about this, but in the mindful of time and you already sharing so much time with us. Thank you so much. And I just wanted to let you know, is there anything else that you perhaps wanted to mention? I'm going to tag everything, all your socials down below so people can find the relevant links. But is there anything else that you want to share at all?
I just want moms to know that there is the ability to heal after birth. too many women feel broken from their births. Mm. And just know that there's healing possible. Mm. A lot of births are traumatic for people, and their body goes into a trauma response. And unless you address the trauma response first, your tissues can't relax and respond to any treatment.
Yeah.
And so please go get support. Go work with a trauma therapist. If you know that your birth was traumatic, work with them first, and then go work with hopefully some of my, I know I have a few practitioners over in London that have taken my courses. So check out my directory, see if there's anybody. We don't have everybody who has studied with me on my directory. We're working on that. So keep checking back, but reach out, join. I have a Facebook group. Institute for Birth Healing Community is a wonderful group of practitioners and moms alike. So you can reach out and see if there's anybody who mm-hmm. is in your area that can support and give you support for healing. But I just want you to know that your body's not broken. It can get fixed and helped. You just need to find the right person to help you out with that. And I do distance sessions, so we can do a Zoom session together if you want to reach out. My clinical practice is Center for Birth Healing. So please check out that link and reach out there if you would like to do a healing session. I can work with the trauma from your birth and help release that. And we can go from there to see what kind of support you need. So thank you. Thank you,
Jessica. That's amazing, Lynn. Thank you so, so much. And yeah, have a lovely rest of your day. And I'm sure everyone will be, yeah, tapping up all those resources that will be tagged down below. And thank you so, so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jessica. Take care, everybody.
Now that brings us to the end of the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed listening to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis from ScreenMe, and really looking forward to hearing from you guys next week.